Lord God, this morning we just want to thank you so much, Lord, for your provision. We want to thank you that your heart is for the nations, Lord. Your heart is for every person, Lord. And we thank you that you provide, Lord, where, you know, so many people want to come to church every Sunday. So many people don't have lift. So many people, Lord, want to enter your presence, Lord. There's so many challenges, but thank you that we can trust you, Lord, for this bus. We can trust you, Lord, for the last bit of provision. But we just thank you so much, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you that you're good, that your heart is for many to be saved, God. And we thank you that we can also send our teams, Lord. And God, that nothing will come in the way of us reaching the goal that you have for us. And we thank you for your heart to reach nations. And so we thank you for this little project, God, the first of many, Lord, for us as a church, Lord, where we will see people's lives change through your goodness and through your love and through the power of the gospel. And we thank you for what's to come, Lord. We just give you a sacrifice of praise this morning. We give you honor from our lips, Lord. We give you glory for what you've done. You're so faithful. You're so good. We just worship you, Lord. We thank you that you're leading us by your Spirit, Jesus. Everybody says, amen. Let's give a shout to Jesus. Hallelujah. Thanks, band. It's wonderful to have you all here this morning. Are you excited? Are you filled with joy? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. So this morning, I would like to talk about something that's the Lord's just been speaking to me about, speaking to many other leaders in the city about it as well. I don't know, some of you have grown up in a home where, I don't know, I'll never forget when I was small, my parents always taught me, or they didn't necessarily have to teach me, but I used to watch when we were like sitting in a room or going to other people's house, and we were like sitting around, and you know, you had a party and there were people coming and people used to walk into the room. Then we would be sitting in the lounge, and it doesn't matter who walked into the room, but you would see the even older people standing up to greet the person walking into the room at the time, you know. And you sort of, as a small little kid, you kind of observed this thing of even older people, like my grandfather, and he would get up and maybe struggle a little bit to get up, but he would walk to the person walking into the room and greet them. And obviously it was someone they knew, or maybe it wasn't someone they knew, but they would always walk up or get up and greet this person and sort of honor this person walking into the room. It was like amazing. I was thinking, yes, these people really, like, have respect and have honor for someone walking into the room, you know. And it was something that you sort of picked up as a small boy. And then as life goes on, you tend to sort of start to get a bit older. And then you think, ah, this is such a schlep to do this, you know. Why must I, like, stand up if even a younger person walks into the room? You kind of just, oh, hello, you know, it's cool to see you again. And you sort of carry on with your conversation. But that's not what I observed in the generation that went before me. There was, look, such an honor. There was such a honor of people, and especially older people. And my parents would stand up especially for older people, but it's not limited to older people. It's just limited to, or it's not limited. It's an honoring of people. An honoring of someone, doesn't matter who they are, where they come from. There was an immediate honor of the person walking into the room. And I think it's something that we have lost in the modern day generation. We have lost this, what I call this culture of honor. And you know, the Bible mentions it a lot. It's something that we've lost, and I believe God wants us to have it restored, at least in the church, that the world out there can experience some of it. You see, if you just look at the media and you look at the age we live in, there's dishonor all over the place. Dishonoring people. Dishonoring of even if people are doing bad things, we just dishonor the person. Instead of separating the sin from the sinner, we just dishonor the sinner with their sin. And you see, it's not only about actions. It's not only about standing up and greeting the person and sort of, you know, your action. It's something about the heart. And I could see with these people that would honor people walking into the room or coming to visit us, I could see there was a heart's honor. It wasn't just something you do. It wasn't just like, oh, it's just a schlep. It was a joy to honor someone, to make them feel welcome, to make them feel special. Even if it wasn't at our house, I could see there was a genuine heart's honor. So honor is something that's not only to do with actions. It's really something from the heart. Because you see, out of the heart comes words and comes actions. If it's not in your heart, you can do it, but it won't be really meaningful. But if it's in your heart, your actions and your words that you speak will really be meaningful. So I believe God wants us to restore this culture of honor within our church, and so that the world can see God is good and God is alive. Amen. Now, according to the definition of honor, it has the following synonyms: esteem, respect, pay homage to, assigning value to. The Greek is translated, the Greek word timaio is translated as to prize, to fix a valuation upon, by implication to revere, according to the Strong's Concordance. So the word timaio means to prize, to fix a valuation upon. And I don't know about you, but I'll never forget this experience that I had where I really felt honored. I don't know if you can think about a time when you really felt like honored. You felt there was value in your life. And one of the experiences I had was in my matric year, at the end of my matric year, there was a prize giving and there was the valedictory service when the matrics go and all that stuff. But the last, and they handed out the prizes to all the different standards, you know, the standard sixes or the nowadays grade eights. They got a prize, and then the grade nines, and then the tens and elevens, and then the matrics got prizes for their classes and for sport and all that stuff. And then at the end, there was this last few special awards given to certain matrics that were leaving, obviously. And it was, you didn't know the other prizes. You kind of like knew that, you know, you were going to get it. They prepped you before the time because you had to go in order that it would run smoothly and so on. So you knew you were getting a prize. Except for these last seven or eight prizes or awards that they would give. And so how they would do it is they would read out they wouldn't say the person's got this award. They would say this award is for the following. It's for this and this and this type of achievement, or either it's academics or sport or whatever. And then they would start to read out, they wouldn't say the person's name first of all. They would say, this person was this, and was this, and did this, and did this. And so there was this like build up. You're trying to work out now who's going to get this prize. And, you know, one guy probably got about, I think, four awards or something. So when they read out his stuff, you know, oh, it's him again, you know. So, you know, those typical overachievers, you know, they get all the prizes. And so then you're waiting, and then it came to this award. It was called the Oxford Award. It was donated by a guy, Old Grey, who was working in Oxford at the time. And it was sort of for this all-round type of award. So then they start to read out the credentials that this award sort of, you need to, you know, to get this award, you need to do the following things. And then they started to read out this specific person. And so they read out, now this person was this, and this person was that. And then I started to think, this is like getting quite close to what I've done, you know. And then at the end, so you start to get excited, but you know, don't get excited because maybe someone else has done similar things to you. But then I kind of knew because there was no one else that got specific awards that I got. And then they mentioned my name like that. And it's just this amazing feeling. You get up in front of all the parents, the whole school there, and you walk up the stage because everyone's sitting. The other prizes was like, you know, you knew was getting the prize. Now it was like, you walk up, because I didn't get another prize. So I wasn't sitting there with all the prize giving guys. I was sitting here somewhere in the crowd. And then your name gets called out, and you walk up and you go onto the stage on your own, and it's this amazing experience of feeling honored, feeling valued, having the word prize, to prize. That's why we have prizes. It's to fix value upon, to give honor to someone, to give value to someone. And I really experienced God saying to me at the time, He's honoring my faithfulness. He's honoring me, and obviously people are honoring me, but ultimately I knew it was God. God was fixing value upon my life. And I believe that is what we should do. We should show honor. To show honor means to treat another person respectfully because we value them highly. Showing honor means to treat another person respectfully because we value them highly. And you see, I believe that the way we honor other people is evident of how we honor God. We need to fix value upon the people of God and fix value upon one another to show that we truly do honor the God that is honoring us by coming down to die for us. And so the Bible talks a lot about honor. And I want to just look at six people that the Bible says that we should honor. And then I'll get to what I really want to get to. This is still part of my introduction. Okay, you still, just shake somebody next to you and say, you're still there? You're still awake? Just think of that coffee afterwards, okay? The hospitality guys have really done a great job, so that coffee's coming. But just listen to me for a few more minutes, okay? The first thing that the Bible says, the first group of people that the Bible said that we should honor is in Exodus 20, verse 12. It says, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The first group of people, which I believe is so important, and it's because you're born into this family. You're born into a family where you have parents. And the Bible doesn't say honor the parents if they're honorable or if they love you and if they do good to you. It says honor your parents that you may live long. Amen. Anyone want to live long? Maximize your time on earth? Be the most effective Christian you can? I want to. And so it says if you want to live long, then you must honor your parents. Honor your father and your mother. And this is quite a tricky one for some of us, because maybe you've grown up in a home that hasn't been so cool, and you know your parents have abused you or whatever, and they've really been bad to you, and you think, what is the chances I'm going to honor my parents? But there's no conditions attached to honor, you see. And that's something we must understand. That's why I'm going to just hold on to your seat there. I'm going to get to what I want to get to. But I want you to understand that honor, there's no condition. The Bible says we must honor. It's a command. Honor your father and your mother. And what I'll never forget doing the legacy seminar. Now, some of you haven't done the legacy seminar yet in our course, in our church. Please do it. We're going to have it on the 18th of October. Some are going to promote it now, especially amongst the older people. Because I know it's easy for the students, but us with children and with families and stuff, it's difficult. But prioritize Saturday the 18th. We'll be doing it on the Wednesday night and the Friday night and then the Saturday. But when I did the legacy seminar, it talks about inner healing. It's a whole course on the Father's heart of God and being sons. And understanding sonship and so on. So if you've never done a course like that, please do it. It's life-changing. But when I did this course, when I finished that legacy seminar back, way back in Stellenbosch days, then I realized that there's something that I must do. God is starting to speak to me about honoring my father and my mother. Really honor. It's not like I had a good relationship. I still have a great relationship with my parents. But God told me, he said, what I must do is I must write them a letter from me and my brother. Now, my brother was like roped into this. He didn't have a choice. I said, you know what? We are going to honor our parents, okay? Because he wasn't, at that stage, he wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. He didn't understand these things. He just, you know, carried on as normal. But I just said to him, you know what? We are going to honor mom and dad. We're going to write a letter to them. And so obviously, I asked him if he's got any input. He says, man, you just do it, okay? We'll read it out together, but you just do it. So I wrote them a specific little thing, and they've actually still got it on their wall. They put it up, they framed it and put it up in their bedroom. They still have it to this day. And that was about 12 years ago that I did it. I think 2001 or something. But I wrote, and it's up. I'm so upset I can't read it to you guys, but maybe if you want to hear it, then you can come to me sometime. But I haven't got it yet today. But it was something like, you know, to mom and dad, just to thank you for the amazing parents you are. Thank you for the journey that you've walked with us and you've brought us up and for the sacrifices you've made. Thank you. Just thank them for everything and just honored them. And at the end it says from Alistair and Justin, your two boys. But it was really something that I felt God saying to me, I must just establish on paper and make a commitment to just do that and then just honor them and thank them and continue to do that. You don't have to write letters every year to them. You can if you want to. But the Lord said to me, just write something, a tribute to them and honor them for who they are. And I really believe it just opened up so many opportunities for me. It opened up blessing in my life. It opened up just favor in my life because I was obeying scripture. I said, I'm going to do what the word commands, to honor my father and my mother. And when my brother was fighting a war in Iraq, he was in the Royal Marines, and he was fighting in Iraq. He was in the heat of the battle, and we used to pray for him every day because we thought maybe someday he can be killed. We might wake up and he won't be there anymore. And the Lord reminded me one morning, because I know my parents were stressed and it was like hectic. You know, we really had to have faith that he would be okay. But then the Lord took me to the scripture, and it's not only found in Exodus, it's found in Hebrews as well. It's found in some other scriptures in the New Testament. Paul writes about it, and he says, if you honor your father and your mother, you know what? You will live long on the earth. And the Lord reminded me of the scripture. And he said to me that my brother has indeed honored my parents, or his parents. So you know what? He'll live long. I don't have to stress. He will make it. He won't be killed in the war. He will live long. And so that gave me peace. And obviously, I mean, I didn't tell my parents that. I just knew, you know what, Justin's going to be fine. He'll come back alive. And to this day, he's farming now. He's left the Marines, praise the Lord. He's doing what he's really been called to do, and that's to fight the enemies like the jackals and the vermin that try to kill his lambs. You know, those are the new enemies. So he puts fences up and makes sure his lambs are all okay. You know, he's a good shepherd, a good farmer. But you see, if we honor our parents, we'll live long on the earth. If we honor our parents, God honors us. Amen. The second group of people is our spouses. 1 Peter 3 verse 7 specifically talks to husbands and says to husbands that we must dwell with our wives with understanding. Okay? Guys, I know we'll never understand women. Okay? But the Bible says just understand them. Okay? Just do it. Okay, Johan? Just do it. Eh? Marius? Vasalimana? Michael? Just understand them, okay? In some way, you'll understand them. But it says, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife, okay? As if to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. If you don't want your prayers to be hindered, husbands, then it's important that you honor your wife. And obviously, Paul is also saying to the wives, you've got to submit. And submission means to honor as well. So guess what, guys? We have to also honor our husbands and honor our wives. We don't have to say they must honor us and we won't honor them. We must honor them. The Bible says we must honor them. So spouses must honor one another. But especially husbands, we must honor our wives. Why? Because they're the weaker vessel. And we must ensure that our prayers are not hindered. And many times, husbands, our prayers are hindered. Guys, our prayers are hindered because we're not honoring our wives. So if you want God to hear you and to come through for you, then honor your wife. But wives, the same thing to you. Honor your husbands. That's what the Bible says. It's not like, oh, if they're this awesome leader and this awesome romanticist and they really love you, then you'll honor them. It just says, wives, submit and honor husbands. Honor your wives. Then 1 Timothy 5 verse 3, it says, honor widows who are really widows. So that's the whole teaching there about some widows want to be sort of helped by the church, but they're not really widows because they're actually not that. They can still have a job and they can still kind of, you know, look after themselves. So Timothy just says, I mean, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, make sure the widows are really being honored who are really widows. Don't have this like, you know. So go and read that part. I'm not going to go into that today. But so widows need to be honored. Then 1 Timothy 5:17 says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Double honor. Especially those who labor in word and in doctrine. Spiritual leaders need to be honored. So you need to honor your district leader, your small group leader. You need to honor someone who's a shepherd, who's an overseer over your life. Let the elders, and that doesn't mean elders who are appointed elders. That means people who are shepherds, who are overseers. Let them have double honor. Then governing authorities. This is a challenging one, guys. Do we honor our president? 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all people, and I'll get to that now. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. How many times do we dishonor the government? How many times do we dishonor the governing authorities? How many times do we dishonor the people who are put in authority over us? Do we honor the king? Do we honor the president? And yes, he's not the easiest guy to honor at the moment, okay? Let's be honest, he's done a lot of things wrong. But are we supposed to honor him only if he does the right thing? And you know, the context, yeah, Peter was writing to the people of the church he was writing to, and he was saying, listen, yeah, there's this guy Nero, he's the king at the moment, he was killing Christians, he was doing the worst things possible to Christians. And he said, listen, you've got to honor this king, even if you're going to get persecuted, even if you're going to be killed by him, he's God's appointed man. You're supposed to honor it. And the whole context is that we need to have our conduct honorable among the Gentiles. Because Peter has just written and he says, listen, yeah, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You're supposed to be separate. And so how do you live that out? You have to submit to authorities and all that. It's in this context. He says, honor the king. Honor all people. Honor those in authority. And then number 6, Philippians 2 verse 3. From the Amplified, it says, do nothing from factional motives, through contentiousness, strife, selfishness, or for unworthy ends, or prompted by conceit and empty arrogance. Instead, in the true spirit of humility, lowliness of mind, let each regard the others as better than and superior to himself. thinking more highly of one another than you do of yourselves. That's a mouthful from the Amplified Version. But he says, don't do anything out of selfish ambition or pride, but esteem one another. And he's talking to believers. He says, within the church, esteem one another more highly than yourself. That's a challenge for us. Because, you know, it's so easy to esteem your own gifts and your own talents and your own abilities quite highly, especially when you know, God has chosen you. But how often do we esteem others higher than ourselves? And you see, I want to say this morning that true honor in the body of Christ is when we see others as more important than us. When we see others as an important link in the kingdom more than we see ourselves as so important. Because many times, especially we're in a position of authority and we're a leader or whatever, we say, you know, without me, this thing's going to fall apart. But true honor is when we say, listen here, without other people, things are going to fall apart. It's not about me. I want to honor other people. I want to do nothing out of strife or selfishness or out of pride or arrogance. I want to, in a spirit of humility, in a lowliness of mind, let each one regard the other as better than yourself, thinking more highly of one another. And so this morning I want to talk about, with that as the background or sort of the introduction, with the whole thing of honoring. The Bible is clear about honoring. And we can go into lots of teachings about all these specific things, but this morning I really feel that I want to focus on how do we honor the gifts in one another. Amen. How do we honor the different gifts? And we're going to do a teaching on Tuesday at Bible school about the gifts of the Father and the gifts of the Son specifically. And I'm just going to look at some of the scriptures. And I want you to understand the importance of knowing these gifts, but then also honoring the different gifts. Honoring the gifts that are not like you. Amen. Because many times it's so easy to honor the person who's got the same gift as you. It's easy to identify with someone who's got the same gift as you. And you're like psyched up, hey, let's start a group here of, you know, whatever this gift is. Let's change the world with this gift. But we forget about all the other gifts that are just as great. And you'll see now from Scripture. And so I want to look at these three gifts. The gifts of the Father, three sets of gifts. The gifts of the Father, the gifts of the Son, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I know some of you know something about these. You've read it in Scripture. You've probably had teachings about it. If you haven't, please come to Bible school on Tuesday night. Because we realize that many of our younger people, our students specifically, they don't understand what their gift is. They don't understand what they've been called for. And so they just carry on, you know, doing anything. But they don't actually ask God, God, what have you called me for? What is the gift in my life? So then I can walk in that gift. But it's important then that I don't exalt my gift above others' gifts. It's important that I honor the whole counsel of the gifts that God has given us. So the first one is found in Romans 12. It says, Paul writes, and he says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. We read that a bit earlier in Philippians. Don't think of yourself so highly. Rather think of other people as higher than yourselves. But he says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly. Okay, so we shouldn't be drunk with wine, okay? We should be drunk with the Holy Spirit, because that will make you think soberly, okay? If you want to be drunk with the Holy Spirit, okay? So he says, think soberly. In other words, you must actually be filled with the Holy Spirit to think really soberly. As God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So turn to someone next to you and say, you have a measure of faith. Because it says, for we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. All the members do not have the same function. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for diversity in the church. Praise the Lord that I don't have to stand up and try and sing a song like Yanni does, okay? As we have many members, all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Take note of that. Members of one another. We are connected. We are not separate. Amen. But how many times do we separate the gifts? You know, we put these gifts into that box and these gifts in that box, and there's no connection. So the gifts are working all isolated on their own. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Tell somebody next to you, you must use your gift. Because you know how many gifts there are in the church that are walking around and they're just passive. The gifts are not being activated. The gifts are not being used. Amen. They say that the worst place, I mean, the place where most dreams are sort of wasted is a graveyard, okay? A graveyard is full of dreams, full of gifts, full of talents that have not been used. People go through their life and they haven't understood their gifts, they've never used their gifts, they've never found out what is the gift, and so the gift just dies. What a sad place, okay? Apart from people dying, but the saddest thing about people dying is that there was unused talent, unused gifts, unused abilities that God has given people. And so it says, having different gifts, use them. Amen. In the church and out of the church, just use your gifts. It says, if you've got the gift of prophecy, then let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, another word for that is serving. If you're a servant, then use it in serving. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality, with freedom. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So we can go into a teaching on all of those gifts, which is not the idea this morning. The idea is just, the focus of this morning's teaching is truly to let you understand that you have a gift. Discover what your gift is, but then use it. But then listen to this. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. In other words, hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. And then it says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love in honor, giving preference to one another. So this is in the context of these seven gifts that Paul is writing, the gifts of the Father. Now we sort of call it the natural gifts, the gifts that you're born with. Now there's some debate about that, because is it really then, do you need the Holy Spirit to operate with these gifts? And so I'm not quite sure. I was challenged by a teacher, one of the teachers down in Stellenbosch, and he just said that he believes this isn't, we focus on these gifts so much as we've got natural abilities, but there are lots of other natural abilities that we have that aren't mentioned yet. So are these gifts empowered by the Spirit? Could be. So that we call them the Father's gifts, that God has given these gifts to people. So go and find it out for yourself. I think it could be, maybe not. But there are lots of other gifts here. But Paul mentions these seven gifts and he says, the important thing that you must know is you must find out your gift, you must use it. But you know what you must do? You must honor other gifts. You must honor one another. You must esteem the other gift almost more important than your own. Esteem the other person more important than you are. Giving preference to one another, it says. Honor the other person. And when you honor that person, you'll honor their gift as well. But make sure that you think soberly. Make sure that you understand each one has been given a measure of faith. Amen. Each one has got a part to play in the body of Christ. So give other people preference in terms of these gifts. And then the gifts of the Son. Ephesians 4. And he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Worthy of the calling. Walk worthy of this calling. Walk worthy of this Christian life that you've been called to live. Be serious about it. Be sober about it. Be focused about it. Walk worthy. And then he says, this is how you do it. You do it with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so he goes on and he says, make sure that you understand that you have been called, but that Christ has given us different gifts. And he carries on to say there's one faith, one baptism, there's lots of unity, but Christ has given different gifts. He's given these five gifts. But to each one of us, grace was given. Doesn't that sound like the previous scripture? Each one has a measure of faith. Each one has been given grace. Each one has been given a gift of grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. And then he mentions the five. He says some have been given, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So he says there's these five gifts that have been given. And you know what? It's given to everyone. But throughout the ages, what churches have done is they've said, you know, the leaders have got all the gifts and we just have to equip the saints. And so the saints don't really have the gifts. They must just operate. But that the fivefold ministry must equip the saints. But that's not right. It says to everyone has been given. So guess what? Each one of us can equip one another. Amen. So not only the leaders. Now, obviously, my primary gifting as a pastor, or my primary role, is to equip the saints. Okay, I don't get to reach out to a lot of unbelievers because I'm working with church people lots of the time, which is not always nice for me because I miss being in the workplace. I miss being with unbelievers where we can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. But you guys are there where I won't get to. You guys are in the workplace where there are unbelievers and people that are really struggling. But obviously, I must also trust God to connect with people. And so I do, but it's a struggle at times. So my primary purpose is teaching and preaching and equipping. But all of us are supposed to equip one another for the work of the ministry. Amen. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Why do we need to equip one another? Till we all come to the unity of the faith. Till we all come to the knowledge of the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? If the fivefold gifts don't work together, you know what? We won't come to the fullness of the knowledge of God. To a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Isn't that the idea of the Christian walk? Isn't that the purpose of the Christian walk, is to become like who? Not like yourself. Not a better self. You know, the modern gospel says, you know, just become a better you. Yeah, you come to church and hear the word of God and pray so that you can become a better you. Hey? Gerda, you can become a better Gerda. Johan, a better Johan. Dolph, you can become the best Dolph that there's been, you know. That's not the Christian walk. The Christian walk is to become the fullness of Christ. Amen. But why aren't people walking in the fullness of Christ? Because the fivefold ministry is not working. Because the other gifts are not being honored and there's not a unity of the faith. Some people say, no, we just must get the lost saved, you know. There must just be miracles. And some people say, no, we must just make sure that people are all okay, you know. Others know them. It's just get the word of God, you know. Or no, we must be interceding the whole time and prophesying and speaking the word. And, you know, so the apostle will say, yes, we must just go and plant cells groups and plant churches. We must just go out there and take the kingdom to the whole world. Then the prophets will say, we need to intercede. We need to get the word of God because there's not order in the church. We need to, like, bring order and bring God's truth here and God's word. And then the evangelists will just say, we just want to get people saved. We don't mind what happens after this, as long as they make that commitment to Jesus. The pastors will just say, no, we must just shepherd them. Everyone must just be okay, as long as everyone's just okay. Just make sure our flock is okay. And then the teachers will just say, you know, clean up the ear. Just make sure people are hearing God's word and they know what the truth is. You know, it's the truth. It's black and white. You know, if you know about the fivefold? Apostles, prophets, the apostles, like, goes ahead, the strong one, the thumb, and then the prophet points the direction, the evangelist, the long one, that he reaches, gets people in, the ring finger, the pastor, and then the teacher cleaning out the ear. Tim is already practicing it there on Jan. See, the teacher has to make sure the prophet's hearing the right word, right? But you see, it says that the fivefold has to equip the saints for the work of the ministry so that we can come to the knowledge of the fullness of Christ. But if you read what Paul writes at the start there, he says, you know what? We must walk in lowliness of mind. We must walk worthy of the calling. We must bear with one another in love. We must be humble. We must esteem others. Because why? Some gifts will exalt themselves and say, without us, you know, nothing will happen. And yes, without a certain gift, not nothing will happen, but things won't happen like they should. But that's not what it's about. It's not about you and your gift. It's about Christ making sure that we're in the fullness, measuring up to His stature. So we need to honor the other's gift so that the body can function and come to maturity, because each one has been given a gift. Amen. And some people think, oh, my gift is not good enough. Well, don't think like that. Because it's so important that there are enough apostles. It's so important there are enough prophets, there are enough evangelists, there are enough pastors and teachers. It's so important that there are enough people. If I look back on the, just go back to the previous slide, maybe went through this a bit quickly. It's important that there are people who can prophesy in the gifts of the Father. Previous slide, or the previous point, honoring the gifts of the Father. Next slide. It's important that we that we have people who are prophesying. If it's important we have people who are serving. It's important we have people who are teaching. It's important we have people who are exhorting people. It's important that we have people who are giving. It's important that we have leaders, that we have people who are leading. It's important that we have people who show mercy. It's important that we have all seven of the gifts of the Father operating in our church. Because maybe some gifts aren't represented well. There's like one person, let's say. Because the others are all feeling inferior. Because, well, you know, I'm not this teacher or this prophet, so I'm not good enough. But we must all honor the gifts, especially the gifts, and we'll look at this now, the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Once again, each one. So turn to the person next to you and say, you've also got that gift. You've got a gift of the Spirit somewhere. You just need to start to activate it. Amen. But it's not given for the profit of you. Your gift in the Spirit is not given for your profit. It's given for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith, to another gifts of healings, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. Once again, the nine gifts of the Spirit are mentioned. So you've got the seven gifts of the Father, the five gifts of the Son, and now the seven or the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. You can divide them into groups of three if you want to remember them. The power gifts is the faith, working of miracles and healings. The power gifts. Then you have the revelation gifts. That is the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. That's where God speaks to us. Revelation. He gives us revelation through the Holy Spirit. The power gifts is God working through us powerfully. And then you have the oral gifts. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. The nine gifts of the Holy Spirit has been given for the profit of all. And so you must discover what your gift is. You must have a desire to operate in one of those or two of those gifts. We can all operate, we can actually operate in all of them to a degree if we have to. If the situation is there, God's not going to say, oh, okay, if there's healing needed, God's not going to say, okay, bring that healer. He's going to use you. But some people do have a superlative ability to walk in the gift of healing. But each one of us must desire what our gift is and what our part of the body is. That's why he doesn't give all the gifts to everyone. Okay? Because he wants the body to work together. Isn't that amazing? That's why we have tongues. Have you guys thought about why we have tongues and interpretation of tongues in church? Have you guys ever heard that teaching? When I heard it, it was so cool. I heard, yes, God, you love the body. God can speak to someone through an unknown tongue, right? He speaks to he says to someone, just bring a tongue now. That person doesn't have a clue what they're saying. They just bring a tongue. They can't understand it. And then God says, you know what? Get someone else to interpret. So God speaks through one person and he speaks through another person, and that person speaks through to the body. Isn't that amazing? God can just speak through one person. He can prophesy over the church and everyone knows what God is saying. But how cool is it that God says, you know what, I'll speak through tongues and an interpretation of tongues, and then the body will hear. You know why? Because I want to use more people. I don't want to just use one person. I want to use two or three people. There's different interpretations. It says, let there be a couple of interpretations. I want to use the body. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that God saying, he wants to use all of us together? Not just one great preacher who can get everything done. He wants everyone to be used. And so he says, the eye cannot say to the hand. So go and read the whole of 1 Corinthians 12. I don't want to go into it now, but he says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are so necessary. How many times do we just discard certain gifts because, hey, what difference does this gift make? But you know what he says? Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. We should honor the gifts highly that we actually often think are less honorable. And you know what? Our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. He's likening it to the body. Some things the doctors here will know. Some internal organs you don't see. The most unglamorous, smelly things probably if you open them up and so on, okay? But they do an incredible job. Certain internal organs do an incredible job. You cannot go without them. You'll die without them. But do they get given honor? No. They're often like despised. But you know what? The face and the eyes and all the glamorous parts of the body, they like, yes, man, we being seen, you know. So we're so cool. But it says our presentable parts have actually no need because God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. That, why did he do this? That there be no schism, no division in the body. But that the members should have the same care for one another. I think it's quite clear out of all these gifts that God is saying, listen here, you need to love one another, honor one another with your gifts. Have the same care for one another. Don't despise one gift. Don't think one gift is better than the other. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. There again, he goes on to some different gifts again. Sort of a combination of the gifts of the Father and the Spirit. I mean, the gifts of the Son and the Father. Just to end that chapter off with. He has appointed apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. So we can go into a teaching on all of these gifts and understand them better. And I'm just so glad there is the gift of administration in there as well. We need that in church. Amen. Praise the Lord for Belinda. Praise the Lord for all the organizers amongst us. Okay, it's not only about the office person. It's about the gift is needed to see the kingdom come. The gift is needed to make life work. So we think the administration is like so unspiritual. You know what? It's very spiritual. It's very needed. Emails need to be sent. There needs to be communication. There needs to be organization. We can't just be out there on cloud nine somewhere, okay? So the same Spirit gives different gifts to each one. Why? So that the body can function as a unit. The body can have many members, each one doing their part. And I want to ask you this morning, where do you fit in? Where is your gift? Where do you fit in to the body of Christ? And are you honoring the other gifts? Are you getting excited when you see someone else discovering their gift? Or you're saying, oh, I'm not so excited about that gift, so I'll just connect with the other gifts, you know. But there's one secret which I'm going to leave with you this morning. How do we truly honor? Proverbs 15:33. And this is not only about honoring the gifts. This is honoring as a principle, honoring as a lifestyle. How do we honor people? It's only one way. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. Before we can honor, before we can even receive honor, we need to be humble. God honors the humble. Amen. God resists the proud, but he gives grace. He honors us. And you know what? We can only honor when we have humility. We can only esteem others higher than ourselves when we're actually humble. If we're proud, we're going to want to honor ourselves. We're going to want to think of our gift more highly than we should. Proverbs 18:12 again says the same thing. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. In other words, there's a proud heart. A proud heart leads to destruction, but before honor is humility. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Jesus came, friends, to give us life in abundance. How do we have life in abundance? It's when we start to honor other people. When we're humble and we say, God, it's not about me. It's about you and the life you brought for so many others. And I just want my gift to serve the body of Christ. I want my gift to bring honor and glory to your name. And you will honor me, God. You know, if we focus on honoring ourselves, we're going to get a certain amount of honor. But you know what? It's not going to be lasting honor. It's not going to be eternal honor. But who wants eternal honor? All of us want eternal honor. We want God to honor us. Then you know what we must do? We must be humble and start to honor others' gifts. Start to honor other people. See, honor is the result of humility and the fear of God, because both of them, humility and the fear of God, it honors God. Only when we honor God with all our hearts will we be able to give and to receive honor. And you know what will happen? There will be a culture of honor in our church. And you know what? The unbelievers are going to flock to church because they are going to be honored. They're going to experience there's this honor. Even if I don't get saved, I'm honored here as a person just because I've been created in the image of God. And when I get saved, great, God will receive the glory. Let's honor one another. Let's start even within ourselves. Let's forget about how can we reach the unbelievers. How can we honor someone else out there if we can't even honor others in the church? If we can't even honor different gifts in the church. I believe the world will be a better place. The world will be changed if we come to this place of humility and say, God, I want to humble myself. I want to honor and get excited about all the gifts. I want to honor the person and honor the gift that they bring to the body of Christ. And when someone walks into church, a new person, we're going to see that. God is going to show us their gift. And we're not going to make a big scene about it, but we're going to, in our hearts, say, sure, God, thank you that this person is going to do great things. I want to see that person grow. I want to see that person establish the kingdom of God where they go. I'm not going to say, you know, you must become like me or you must conform to a certain way. You must do what God's called you to do. If we honor one another and honor the gifts in one another, you know what? The kingdom of God will come. And this can only happen through what Jesus did on the cross. This can only happen when we realize Christ has come to humble himself, become nothing for us. Philippians 2 says he became a man, left all his honor, humbled himself and went to the cross. And you know what? God has exalted him above everything. God has honored him. God honors true humility. And God will honor your gift even. He will start to use your gift mightily. If you start to say, God, I'm humble. I want to humble myself before you. I want to honor another gift. And see how all of us come to the fullness of the knowledge of Christ. So I want to pray for us this morning. Let's all close our eyes. God, I want to thank you this morning that you have called us as a church to embrace this culture, God, to embrace this lifestyle of honoring one another. Lord, I want to thank you this morning that you call us to honor all people. Your word says we must honor all people. And we want to do that very specifically this morning. We want to honor the gifts that are next to us, Lord, in this church. We want to honor the gifts that maybe we don't even see so often, Lord. But we want to honor each one in this church. And I want to honor, Lord, just the different giftings that there are. Lord, I pray that you'd give us the ability to really honor other people and esteem others higher than ourselves. I pray right now, Lord, for such humility, God, for all of us. I pray that we would choose to be humble now, to choose to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and you will lift us up. You will honor us. You will use our gifts even more, Lord. But thank you, Lord, that even when you start to entrust to us amazing things, I pray, God, that we will not grow haughty and proud. We will not exalt ourselves and think that we are better than anyone else. But thank you, Lord, that we can really be humble and have so many different gifts around us. Thank you that we can only operate in a certain amount. We need other people. We need others, Lord. And even in our church this morning, Lord, I say we need other people, Lord. We need more gifts to come. There's certain gifts that aren't well represented, and we need them in the church, Lord. We want them, God. We want those people that you want to send to us that have gifts that are not maybe esteemed even in this church, Lord. But I thank you that you want us to esteem all the gifts, to honor each gift and each person according to how you honor them. So this morning we're sorry, Lord, for many times exalting our own abilities and our own talents and our own gifts above others, Lord. We're sorry, Lord, for despising other gifts which seem to be so weak and which seem to be insignificant, but yet they are even more honorable. So Lord, I ask for the grace right now for each one of us to honor one another in this time. Thank you, Lord, my faith, and I pray that all of us would have the faith that you'd establish a culture of honor in our church. You would establish a culture where we esteem others so highly. Lord, if each one does that, it will just bring so much freedom, Lord. It will bring a fragrance of Jesus. It's just like in a marriage where if we honor one another, Lord, it's just so blessed because we're not focused on ourselves. Lord, but I pray at the same time that we'd start to discover our gifts. We'd start to be comfortable with our gifts, God. Because many times, many of us are running around, we're not sure, and so when we see other gifts, we're intimidated, and it's difficult for us to honor another gift because we almost desire that, but we're not comfortable with who we are, with what you've made us, how you've made us. I pray that we'd also honor the gifts that you've given us, Lord. That we'd also esteem it high enough to be able to use it, Lord. Because each one has been given a measure of faith. Each one has been given grace gift to see the kingdom come.